ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua and chapter 24. Joshua 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13, and we will read through verse 15. We'll use a few more verses later on in this text. But I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of our declaration of dependence. Our declaration of dependence. And so, Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Once again, a phrase in verse 15. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And beloved, that is a choice that you cannot avoid. May we pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts during this time. Thank you for the truth, the power, the conviction of your word. Give us ears to hear, that we might hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and help us to hear well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On June the 7th, 1776, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia stood before the Continental Congress that was assembled in the Pennsylvania State House, and he presented and read the following resolution. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Over the next few weeks, a committee of five was appointed to hammer out what we now know as the Declaration of Independence, where we as a nation declared our independence from Great Britain. And on July the 2nd of 1776, that declaration was ratified by the 13 colonies. And we now have what we know as the Declaration of Independence. You know, that great document begins with words like, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Independence. There are a lot of ways in which people declare their independence. You know, there's a time in each of our lives to where we think we want to be independent of something. You know, there comes a time as a teenager, as a young person, to where, you know, you felt the pressure, the rule, the reign of maybe your parents over you, and there's just that something that comes over you. You just cannot escape. You just can't get over it. You feel like you deserve that right to be independent. I've been there. I remember being there. And whether you vocalize it somewhere down in you, you declare your independence and you realize how stupid you were. Yeah. That you really cannot declare your independence. As a matter of fact, if anything, you need to declare yourself more dependent than ever before. You know, there's there's two sides of this thing of independence. There's one side that says, I don't need you. That's basically what we were saying to Great Britain when we declared our independence as a country. We no longer need you. King George, yeah, take a vacation. Leave America alone. We got this thing. But there's another side of independence that says, you are no longer obligated to me. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that many in our nation, whether just citizens or our neighbors, our friends, and I'm afraid many times even as God's children, we're guilty of this. We want to somehow or another declare our independence from God and say, whatever the circumstances might be, we no longer need you. And when we say that, we're actually saying, you're not obligated to us. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a sad place to be. People insisting on their independence from God. Our nation. We kicked God out of schools. We kicked prayer out of schools, and we were saying, God, we don't need you. God, therefore, you're not obligated to us. And now we live in a nation of that's lost its sense of morality. That's lost its sense of destiny. We live in a place that we find ourselves creating our own battlefields in different ways, on different days, and for different reasons. Jeremiah writes this, why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord. Paul writes to the church in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to those things which are not proper. Sometime back, after one of the tragic school shootings, that's, you know, when you think you've heard the worst, then another one happens. An editorial cartoonist put out this cartoon. It was two individuals talking, and one individual says, how could God let something like this happen in our schools? To which the other replied, God's been kicked out of our schools. He's not allowed in our schools any longer. Over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, beginning in verse 21, we read the prophet Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing and makes the judges of the earth meaningless. And we'll find out one day, but in my mind sometimes I just sort of wander and think about things like, I wonder what God's thinking as He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth and looks in on us. And how we live and how we conduct business and how we think. And even though as believers, We believe the Word of God, and we want to think we're committed to God, but sometimes we act like anything but like we're committed to God. That's where Joshua and the nation of Israel was at this point in their life. And they're about to start a new nation, and they've come into the promised land, and Joshua says, listen, God has His standard, God has His way. And I want you to know, I can't make a decision for you, but as for me and my house, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to serve the Lord. And they had that moment that we can have many times in revival in church when it seems just like the right thing to do, and we says, yeah, we're going to do that too. Yeah, that's what we want. And unfortunately, many times we go out living otherwise. C.S. Lewis once said, there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And then those to whom God says, okay, have it your way.